structure damage. Middle East Eye spoke to one family about their experiences living with cancer while under constant threat from the Israelis. Intisar Abu Sagar, 49, was diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago after doctors discovered a tumor on her pancreas. Around 6 months after her diagnosis, Sagar underwent a Whipple procedure that is often used to deal with pancreatic tumors. Abu Sagar's daughter, 29-year-old Hanin, explained, speaking on behalf of her now heavily ill mother, "Doctors removed 5 parts from my mother's body, including the head of the pancreas, the top of the stomach, the intestines, gallbladder, and bile duct. Her intestines were replaced with artificial conduits," she added. Following the successful surgery, Intisar Abu Sagar was left with 12 lymph nodes that were still affected by the cancer. She subsequently underwent 4 months of chemotherapy at the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital, where doctors were able to control its spread. For a period, therefore, she remained in good health. Following chemotherapy, Intisar adhered to a routine CT screening every 3 months to make sure the cancer did not return. The family dared to feel a sense of optimism until the ongoing conflict began. Soon after, the Zionist regime began its bombing of Gaza following the October 7th events, Intisar Abu Sagar was forced to flee her home in northern Gaza after it was hit by an Israeli regime airstrike. At first, she took refuge in central Gaza and then made her way to Rafah on the Egyptian border. In neither place was she able to have her CT screenings. Hanin recalls, "We found ourselves constantly on the move. Each time we settle in a seemingly secure area, it becomes unsafe and we were forced to relocate again." After becoming displaced, her mother Intisar began feeling pains where she had undergone surgery more than a year and a half earlier. Doctors initially suggested it could be related to tissue in the affected area healing after the surgery, Hanin said. "The pain became increasingly severe. My mother could not sleep at all. We sought medical assistance, but the doctors could not provide CT screenings. They explained that getting CT scans was unfeasible because of the ongoing chaos." With the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital out of action, the family had to keep an ear out for news of where they could get a CT scan. In January, they learned that the European hospital, as well as the Anasser hospital, which was recently stormed by the Zionist regime troops, were performing such scans in southern Gaza. The family managed to reach the latter, and Intisar Abu Sagar was checked. During the examination, doctors determined that the cancer had returned and spread to other parts of her body, including various lymph nodes, her spine, lungs, and pancreas. "Since receiving the news, Intisar's situation has deteriorated significantly," Hanin said. "At the moment, my mother's health is rapidly declining. She is now paralyzed and unable to walk or even sit down," adding, "We secured a wheelchair for her Just 2 days ago, we fought to get it for her. The doctor's recommendations are for Intisar to leave Gaza and to get treatment abroad, but so far her name has not been added to the list of people who can leave the territory through Egypt. Hanin explained, the process is quite long. Egypt issues a list of patients' names and sends them to Israel for approval. Once approved, patients can travel to Egypt. There, they know which country will accept them for their treatment. Typically, it is Turkey, the UAE or Jordan, where cancer patients from Gaza are usually hosted. Intisar is one of at least 10,000 Palestinians with cancer in Gaza who are waiting to get out for treatment. With each day that passes, the cancer spreads through Intisar's body and she slowly loses function of her body. Hanin said, the doctor informed us that if the cancer had been detected at the start of the aggression, they would have had a chance to control it. Hanin said, my mom lost over 30 kilograms. She was 78 kilograms and today she is less than 40. Her psychological condition has worsened. She looks at herself and laments over the cancer that is eating her alive without any hope of help.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program in which we try to deal with the critique of some of the movies of metaphysical nature or with religious and spiritual themes. This is me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah are helping me as the guest speakers, as always, in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Yasser, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to be with you, Brother Muhammad Jawad.
Thank you very much. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum to you, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, and thank you for having me once again.
You're welcome. Well, one of those movies which interest many. It's based on some kind of spiritual awakening or some sort of, let's say, a spiritual nature. It's called Astral. It's directed by Chris Maul, and it was produced in 2018. It's a British horror movie with some of the actresses and actors such as, Frank Delane, Damson Idris, Vanessa Grass, and Catherine Stedman. The whole story is revolving around a student of metaphysics, Alex, as a detached university student who learns of a scientific premise of astral projection or out-of-body experience, the ability to project your spirit into an unseen spatial dimension. Then he faces the consequences of AP or astral projection when he uses it to reconnect with his deceased mother. IMDb actually gives it, 4.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, 56%, and Film Affinity, 4 out of 10. Let's take a listen to a part of this movie, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint.
I can't really tell you how to do it. I can only describe how I did it. Find somewhere comfortable. Rest your eyes. Concentrate on your breathing. You are connected to all that exists. I am empowered to travel wherever I wish to go.
So, astral projection allows you to contact...
I don't think you should be messing around with that.
Why exactly you want to try?
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers. We are trying to criticize the movie Astral. It is reminiscent of or stands for Astral Projection, directed by Chris Mall, produced in 2018. Well, let me start with you, Brother Yasser. What is astral projection? What is its basis? What's the significance of astral projection in relation to this movie?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of the fundamental questions that has always triggered human mind is, okay, are we just a physical being, or do we have another aspect of our existence? Mm-hmm. That is, whatever it may be, call it the soul, the mind, the spirit, whatever you may be. What is the relationship between the physical body and that particular thing, or that particular second aspect? Mm-hmm. You know, this duality. What is it?
Yes, mind body duality.
Yeah, mind body duality. But again, obviously the
Cartesian
mind,
duality, yeah.
The mind, and so on and so forth, has been something that has been added after mm-hmm. The turn of the century, and so on and so forth. Again, making everything physical. So
right.
Everything, your feelings, your emotions, are all just physical, which is not what we're kind of adhere to, mm-hmm. or we propose or
yes.
propose, no. The whole different discussion on the soul and the faculties of the soul and so on and so forth. But here, as I understood from the movie, and yes, it's quite fascinating that in the first section of the movie, before it even starts, it gave this disclaimer. This is just a work of fiction,
mm-hmm.
but this particular phenomenon is something, and they gave a true statement, like this
yes.
is something real,
yes.
and it happens.
Mm.
Quite interesting that the author, or the rather the producer, actually did that, or the director, whoever did that particular writing piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what it is this kind of splitting between the physical body and this, or the second part of the soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it, such that it is independent of the body.
Right.
People have the spirit, or like I see myself lying in bed. So you have a detachment, so mm-hmm. to speak. But now, as per this movie, it is a detachment from this realm into another realm. So mm-hmm. you're going beyond just the physical realm into another realm, which I'm sure will come up in other questions about it and so on. But this is what it actually is. It is an experience by which a person
mm-hmm.
detaches the second part of his being from his physical being.
Right.
Such that he can actually see his physical being and affect things in another realm or in another dimension.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Mall. And then we'll be back and continue our program, Viewpoint, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Astral attempt number 2.
It doesn't make any sense. Surely you can't record your own spirit.
It felt like a dream, but it was so real.
Don't believe everything you're about to see. It's a dream. I've been Sidious Diaboli.
Libera nos domine. Et ecclesiam tuam secura tibi fortius. Dubitate. With the Father and the Holy Spirit. You brought something here with you.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad Hossain's program, and Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah, my guest speakers, as always, trying to help me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. Syed Abdullah, how do people experience astral projection? And I just wanted to add, to ask you whether you have any kind of experience in that regard too.
So based on your question, you're already kind of assuming that such an experience actually happens. So you're asking me, how does it happen? So we first of all, who said it does happen? We don't know of anyone that was able to extract his soul out of his body to begin with. Now, not to say that it is not possible. I do believe it is possible to a certain degree. There are some people who have mastery over themselves or over their spirit or whatever. These days, sometimes we attach that kind of thing to mystics. We say mystics have that capacity. So it's not a matter of you just lying in bed and just, I don't know, thinking of something and then hoping that your soul will leave the body. So to assume that it is a common thing and how it's done, I think that the question itself needs to be revised. Mm-hmm. So is it possible? Perhaps. Is it common? Highly doubt it. Do some people do it? I've never heard of anyone who can actually extract his body. I mean, I read some people who had such an experience, but this person was a mystic. And mm-hmm. the problem with mystics is that the powers that they have, it is not something that they just focus on and, you know, they put pressure on their minds. It's a godly given gift or blessing mm-hmm. that they be able to navigate their way around things that me and you cannot do. And obviously that's a duty of piety rather than anything else. So in a short answer, I say there is no method or possible way that a human being can extract his soul from his body. This is my own opinion. Mm-hmm. Did I go through such experience? I would love to. I mean, I've done that.
Have you ever tried it? Because there are lots of techniques out there. If you just look it up in Google, for example.
I did. Actually, I did.
And have you ever tried, practice the
tried.
Techniques?
I tried to practice that thing even before I knew about such a thing. I was always obsessed with trying to see things from a different perspective, from a different body, to be precise. But it never worked. It worked because my dreams, though.
Uh-huh.
I had a lot of dreams where I see myself leaving my body.
I see. This is what they call lucid dreaming.
Lucid dreaming. But in reality, no, that never happened.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Let's take a break by listening to another part of the movie Astral, directed by Chris Moll, produced in 2018. And then we'll be back and continue our program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
There were spirits surrounding you looking for a way in.
You saw them?
Yes. And our only choice is to banish them. There is one more powerful than the others. It seeks only destruction and it won't stop until it gets what it wants. We need its name.
Why?
Most religions have names for them. The Bible refers to them as demons, spirits, and fallen angels, though I use the term loosely. The Quran refers to these spirits as jinn, a spirit from an unseen dimension. Alex, you'll have to do as you did before.
Project?
Yes.
No. No, that's what started this. It's going to make it worse.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Syed Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, trying to help me criticize the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Moll. Brother Yasser, is astral projection real? And what's the evidence for it? I know that Syed Abdullah was not really in favor of like the reality or what's going on with astral projection, and he challenged and questioned maybe the reality of this phenomenon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maybe the way they portray it in the movie or on the internet will give a false impression of what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the Islamic texts, especially the philosophical and Irfani texts, we have what is called as khalal badan.
Yeah.
We have this terminology where a person kind of removes himself from his physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean that he has another body, wherever that may be, because even within the sciences and in the intellectual sciences,
even we have a hadith that even in dreams, this is what happens, that we leave our body, but partly.
Dreams are different. So this,
partially, not totally. Yeah.
Dreams are different. Because
like that's the difference between dreaming and death.
Dreams are a bit different to what this actually is, because dreams, obviously, you are in a sleep state.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what khalbadan is that you are in a state of wakefulness. You are not sleeping. You are awake. You are aware of what is happening around you. In a sleep state, for example, many things happen that you don't have control of. Because you are dreaming, the subconscious takes its there are other factors as well in it, but for example, one of them is the subconscious, the things that you saw during the day, things that are making you worried, and so on and so forth. All these things can affect your dream state. But within the text, for example, I'll just give one example to show that, you know, such a thing is possible. How it is possible is a different story altogether. Like I think what Sayed mentioned, I think is that, okay, yeah, it's a movie shows a person just lying on his bed, closing his eyes, reciting some mantra. It's not like that. It's not something as simple as that.
So the
example that I would like to give is the example that one of the great Islamic philosophers, Shahid Maqtul, Sheikh Ishraq, Shuhravardi, he says that at the end of his book, Hikmat al-Ishraq, which is his main textbook, that a true philosopher is that person who can do this,
who
can remove his soul from his physical body.
He doesn't even say mystic. He says
a true philosopher is like this. And that goes into the next level.
Uh-huh.
Understanding the history of philosophy, like, for example, coming from the Peripatetics to the Illumination School of Thought, he did not deny that, but he's trying to show them that, look, it is not just intellectual practice that makes you a philosopher.
Yes.
It is also the way that you train your soul and the way you see reality outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you actually experience reality that makes you a philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the thing. So just by him saying that, and by obviously knowing who he as a person was, the possibility of it is there. And because of him saying that, it's something that is very difficult to achieve. It's not something that you can just lie on bed, close your eyes and recite something, and then you'll be able to achieve it.
True, indeed. Thank you very much, Brother Yasser and Syed Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with the criticism of the movie Astral, produced in 2018, directed by Chris Maul. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Begin by getting into a comfortable seated position. When you're ready, softly close your eyes and tune in to your heart in the middle of your chest and a couple of inches inwards. Let all of your awareness center in on this space. Wiggle your fingers and your toes. And when you're ready, open your eyes back to the world around you.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate on what Imam Muhammad Baqir, peace be upon him, the fifth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said about Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance. The master of the command was named as the Mahdi because he will dig out the Torah and other heavenly books from the cave in Antioch. He will judge among the people of the Torah according to the Torah, among the people of the Gospel according to the Gospel, among the people of the Psalms according to the Psalms, and among the people of the Quran in accordance with the Quran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Everyone, and thanks for tuning in. This is Gaza Under Attack, coming to you from the British capital, London. Before we get to the discussion with the panel, let's review some of the day's developments. A temporary pause on the horizon. U.S. President Joe Biden says apartheid Israel is ready to halt the genocidal war on Gaza for the holy month of Ramadan, as Gaza ceasefire talks continue. British-founded charity Oxfam says Israel is ignoring the International Court of Justice's provision on starvation in Gaza. Meanwhile, more cross-border strikes between Israel and Hezbollah as the Lebanese resistance movement targets an Israeli military base with a barrage of retaliatory rockets. Also, the Palestinian ambassador to the UK on a future Palestinian government that will include all Palestinian factions and the centrality of the anti-war movement in Britain to ending the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories. His words. In less than 5 months, apartheid Israel has killed some 30,000 Palestinians and wounded more than 70,000 others, most of those murdered women and children. Time now to introduce our panel in the studio, theater director and writer Jonathan Chadwick, alongside journalist and author Fra Hughes, who is joining us from the north of Ireland via Skype. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here. I'll start with you, Jonathan. A genocide case and an apartheid case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, filed only a month apart. How isolated are Israel and its staunchest allies, backers like the US, the UK, and Germany?
Increasingly, I would say. I think it represents a real escalation of their isolation in the world. You don't mean isolated from each other, presumably, because that's also a part of the chemistry that will happen as things start to go badly for Israel and the Americans. They will start to try to depart company, and that's inevitable. You've seen that in US behavior in the past, in other places. But I would say, yeah, I think it's a part of the isolation process, and I think it's only coming just so late to save lives in Palestine. I don't think it's going to mean that the Israelis are going to change course. In fact, the isolation of these entities may intensify the feelings within them of having to pursue the course that they're pursuing in terms of trying to fight their way out or genocide their way out of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, I think it's both, you know, you can cheer the International Court of Justice, and certainly bringing a case about occupation is absolutely right, isn't mm-hmm. it? That is the problem, and actually for it to be revealed to be the problem, which you can so easily ignore, that is really, really important to get that actually out in the open. It's
awesome. And the tens of submissions that were given at the ICJ on the legality or illegality of the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory, some would say they were so good they had to become lectures at universities for students. Farah, the same question to you. I guess I'm going to rephrase it and ask you what you think is the significance of the fact that there have been two such cases, one genocide brought forth by South Africa, and the other one on occupation or apartheid against Israel at the ICJ.
Well, I think it's the first time in the history of the Israeli state that they have actually been brought to the International Court of Justice and are being held accountable for their crimes against humanity, for the continued illegal occupation of the West Bank, the continued expansionist settlement policies. And I think America and the UK and the EU have all been exposed as being fully complicit in not only the birth of Israel in 1948, but with American help in 1967, they started and they won the Six-Day War, which led to the illegal occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. So I think on many levels, we are seeing a turning point in history, in international relations, and in the international perception of the global public of what Israel really is, which is a racist, apartheid, expansionist state. Israel is one of the only countries in the world to refuse to defend its borders. So far from finishing its onslaught on Gaza and the West Bank, if it continues to be held unaccountable, it will continue to expand into other nations, to include Syria and Lebanon and Egypt. So it's important going forward that people see what is really happening on the ground through social media. And in real time, we are watching the genocidal carpet bombing and now the starvation of 2.4 million people.
Brah, the ceasefire being mentioned, as I mentioned earlier also, is only temporary. There seems to be no permanent solution thus far, at least as far as now is concerned.
Yes, and in order to end the violence that we're witnessing, all we need is for America and Joe Biden to stop sending money, arms, and giving political cover to the Zionist apartheid regime. The whole idea of this ceasefire really comes down to one thing, and that is the internal pressure that Netanyahu is under from the relatives of the people that are held prisoner in Gaza by the resistance groups. These people are on the streets, tens of thousands of them, demanding an early election, demanding Netanyahu resigns or steps down from government. And what they want is the release of the hostages. So everything we're witnessing and everything we're hearing, including America going from vetoing even the word ceasefire in UN resolutions to accepting it, is purely to allow some form of negotiated settlement to allow the release of the Israelis, many of the members of the IDF that are held in Gaza. They want them out, and then I would imagine that the massacre of Rafah will continue apace as soon as those people are released.
I want to talk about what the Palestinian ambassador had to say, which was the pro-Palestine processions, the marches and rallies that we've seen happen for more than 4 months here in the UK. He called the UK or London the epicenter of international activism for Palestinian liberation. And yet, at the same time, you hear comments from government officials, recently MP Lee Anderson saying what people have called Islamophobic against the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, which people say is symptomatic of the deep Islamophobia inside the political party itself. What do you make of that, the divide between how the Palestinian ambassador thinks of these processions and what the government here thinks of these people?
Yeah, I put the epicenter of resistance to the oppression of the Palestinian people close to the Red Sea, personally. I think that it's very, very important, the movement that's happening here, because it is a recognition of an enormous sense of togetherness and solidarity between people here that feel very, very strongly about the Palestinian people and can see within the movement for Palestinian liberation their own struggle. But, the British state is heading in a really disastrous direction, and it's been doing so ever since the 2001. This is just the war on terror repeddled, and they're trying to play that tune again and again and again and again, trying to make out that the Muslim population of this country are in some way contiguous with terrorism, contiguous with migrants. This is politics of disaster, and it's disastrous politics. And they're going to end up where other speakers of this sort, who indulge in exclusionary politics, end up in the dustbin of history.
On the ash heap of history. Farah Hughes, I'd like to get your reaction to the same question. The way the government here and perhaps the political establishment altogether have approached or treated the pro-Palestine solidarity campaign that's been ongoing, of course, for decades, but went into overdrive since this genocidal war on Gaza started.
I think we've maybe noticed over the last few years, maybe the last decade, how much the Israeli lobby and how much the parties, Labour Friends of Israel and the Conservative Friends of Israel, and even if we go slightly farther afield, when we go to America, you see all the presidential candidates going to the Wailing Wall in East Jerusalem. So I think what we have is a coalescence of British politics with Zionist foreign policy and Zionist policy within Gaza. We have seen the British establishment move to the point where they tried to ban Palestinian flags. I was recently at a Palestinian rally here in the north of Ireland, and I was one of the speakers. And the police were there recording everything that was being said by the speakers on the day. Presumably, if someone had said something that could be seen as being anti-Semitic or indeed being seen in favour of the resistance groups, you have the right under international law to resist by all means necessary the illegal occupation of their land and their country. We're witnessing the state and the state establishments moving into an anti-Palestine and a pro-Israeli zone. And a part of that is this encouragement of Islamophobia from Tommy Robinson and people on the right, as far as the Conservative government, where they are pushing the narrative where people who are Muslims in this country could be seen as a fifth column working to destabilize the nation. So part of that is an attempt to, I believe the Zionists have for many, many decades, tried to change anti-Semitism into Islamophobia. They are trying to portray the Muslims as the terrorist threat to the world, and that Israel and the Zionist state is not a threat to anybody, but any Muslim anywhere in the world is a potential threat to the country that they live in.
Absolutely. Zionism, the ideology of division, no doubt. Gentlemen, we're fresh out of time. Jonathan Chadwick and Brad Hughes, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. Until we meet again, continue to keep Palestine in your hearts. Goodbye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum. It's Special for You, we present to you today.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. You're listening to our voice from Iran. In this episode of today's special, we're going to speak about the benefits of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, during his ghaibah or occultation.
It's yet another day, feeling all alone. Without your presence, I just can't go. My eyes are searching for you everywhere. After the end of the Friday prayer, O son of Hassan, my beloved Imam of the talking Quran, accept my salam.
Today, Friday, 20th of Shaban, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Isfand, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of the month of March, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is from the Holy Quran, chapter As-Saff, verse 8.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. يريدون ليطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم والله متم نوره ولو كره الكافرون.
They want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah will perfect His light, although the disbelievers dislike it.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The enemy is preoccupied at all times with extinguishing the divine light of guidance. Allah's religion is light, namely it leads to knowledge, growth, treading the path toward Allah and happiness. The stratagems and devices of the enemies aiming at confrontation with the truth is fruitless and of no avail. Thus, in order to reflect that the enemies of the truth may not affect divine religion, the blessed verse presents a similitude, saying that they intend to put out the divine light with their mouth, but Allah Almighty perfects His light despite the disbelievers dislike it.
My hands, my life are at your command. Help me, Ya Mahdi. Help me to help you in action and speech, to deliver your message to the people I reach. 1,200 years you've been alive, and wait. You wait, we wait. We've prepared your seat. A Muslim, a man, a guide, our savior. God will bless us with you as a favor. They ask us, how is it you've lived for so long? We smile and remind them of Jesus and Elijah, or Khizr and Isa. They ask us, where are you? Why would God hide you? We remind them of Yusuf. You return when we decide to improve our actions, to accept our failures. Men rise to lead nations but fail for centuries. Our daily behavior makes God delay our savior. God promised your victory to us in the Quran, like Moses or Musa. He protected your birth. We have said in the Psalms and the Torah that my righteous servants will inherit the earth.
This is today's special and benefits of Imam al-Mahdi during his occultation. Guidance can be of different ways. Do we need to see Allah to guide us? How about the Prophet who has already passed away? If we want to see our way and in order to walk safely, we need light. The sun provides this light for us even if it is hidden behind the clouds, where the eyes do not see directly. Similarly, We benefit from the guidance of Imam al-Mahdi even though we cannot see him during his period of occultation. However, it should be noted that Imam al-Mahdi and all other Imams and Prophets are not anything but the best creatures of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear brothers and sisters, in this show we are going to talk about the benefits of the hidden Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And the absence of these channels of grace, the grace of Allah still exists. If there is no deficiency in the recipient of grace, but it can be said that all possibilities do not have the capacity to receive grace directly, and their deficiency prevents them from receiving direct grace. There is no doubt that all that has been said about the Imam alayhi salam is not related to his apparent presence, and the absent Imam, like the present Imam, is an intermediary of divine grace. According to the numerous hadiths or narrations on the subject of imamate, and based on the reasons presented by different scholars in Islamic thought, the Imam is the soul of the world, and the world depends on his existence. The Imam is the heart of the world of existence, the central nucleus of the universe, and the intermediary of grace between the world and the creator of the world, and his presence and absence do not differ in this respect. And if he is not in the world, even if he is unknown, the world of existence will collapse. As Imam Sadr alayhi salam said, if the earth remains without an Imam for an hour, it will swallow its inhabitants. Maintaining society from despair and frustration is another benefit of this absent Imam. Undoubtedly, belief in the absent Imam, may Allah hasten his return, causes Muslims to hope for a bright future. This hope is one of the greatest causes of success and progress. The Shia society, the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, according to their beliefs in the existence of a living Imam among them, they are always waiting for the appearance of that Imam. They do not see him among themselves, but they do not consider themselves alone and separate from him. Thus, the hidden Imam is always watching over the situation of the Shias, and this matter causes his followers to hope for the grace and favor of His Holiness, and strive to reach the desired global situation.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now, what is our role as we wait for the Imam's reappearance? One of the roles can be connecting with the marja'iyya, or religious authority. Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, commanded his followers to follow the most knowledgeable and most pious jurists in the seminaries during his occultation. Otherwise, following the religious opinion of unqualified individuals will not only lead the believers astray, but also cause suffering. It is an essential obligation upon all believers to choose a qualified jurist to follow and get correct direction and advice from him. That is why taqlid, or emulation, is obligatory. Another role is knowing the Imam of time. The Prophet and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, have very clearly explained,
Ya Aba Saleh, 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 Ya Aba Saleh. حسن روحی فداک حتا ترانا و نراک کلیس محبوبی سواک کلیس محبوب نل حسن روحی فداک.
The importance of knowing the Imam of the time. From these sayings, we can understand that the survival of faith is based on our knowledge of the Imam of the time. If one lacks the knowledge of the Imam, all his deeds will be valueless. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "One who dies and he does not believe in the Imam, his death will be the death of an unbeliever." Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, "One who dies and he does not believe in an imam, his death will be the death of an unbeliever. The people will not be excused unless they know their imam."
The true companions of the Mahdi are those, even if they feel jealousy towards others, they bring their hearts and raise their hands and say, "Oh Allah, that person who's successful, who has a wonderful family, has a wonderful life, give them more. Bless them more." Can you do that? When the Mahdi sees that you have such a heart, radiating with light, exuding goodness wherever you go, the Imam alayhi salam will accept you as a close supporter, as one who will uphold his legacy. One of the consequences of the ghaibah, of the absence of the Imam, is to keep us going day and night. See, when you lose something that's valuable, something that's dear to you, if you lose it, you cannot sit still. You're not stable. Your mind is preoccupied. You do everything you can to find it. What's more valuable than the Imam of our time? And it's been over 11 centuries that we have not had the honor to see his luminous face, to directly hear his words. Yes, his blessings include us, but to directly sit with him and learn from his knowledge. But are we feeling that loss in our hearts? The true believers at the time of the ghaibah, the true believers and the supporters of the Mahdi, during the ghaibah, they don't sit still because they have this feeling of loss day and night. They feel orphaned from the Imam of their time. And therefore they don't sit still, because they know every act of injustice hurts their Imam. So they try to remove injustice as much as they can.
That was all for this episode of today's special under the topic of benefits of Imam al-Mahdi, the last savior during his ghaibah. Thank you very much for listening to us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. Wassalam. Allahumma ajjil baliyka al-farah. Allahumma اللهم أجل
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Of the soil from the blood and the ashes. It speaks with me the sound of the rain from the battle and the victory.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.